Let us pray. Lord, we thank you once again. We can gather before you another day. Lord, may this day, today, is the day we can be able to experience you and know you. So listen to you with our hearts, so you can speak to our hearts, so that we can know you. We ask you to, Lord, help us as we share together, as we read your words together. Lord, may you use your scripture, your words in the Bible to speak into our hearts. And take away all the hindrances and distraction, so that our hearts can be good soil, perceptive, receiving your words. So that we know you better, so that we can love you more. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I remember last time we talked about four boxes. Not sure whether you remember or not. I would like to have some revision. We talk about salvation. We talk about assurance of eternal security, eternal salvation. We talk about like in these four boxes, the lower two boxes and the upper two boxes. The upper two boxes, people, they are saved. And the lower two boxes, people, they are not saved. But some people in here, they may think they believe in the Lord. And they even think that they have the assurance of eternal security, of salvation. But actually, they are not saved. And this box refers to some people. They think they believe in the Lord, but actually they haven't. They haven't got a saving faith. Though they are not sure whether they have assurance of eternal security. But they are not saved. This is what we talked about last time. Professional Christian. People, they profess they are Christian. Seeing that I believe in Jesus might not be real Christian. That's why we have the lower two boxes here. Only verbally saying or mentally accepting the fact that I'm a sinner and Jesus is Savior, but no change in relationship with Jesus and sin might not be having saving faith. A faith that saves, a genuine faith. What relationship with Jesus change when a person has saving faith? Jesus is not only to him, Jesus is not only Savior, but my personal Savior. Saying to Jesus, Jesus, I trust you, forgiving my sin. This person received Jesus as his personal Savior. Jesus is not only Lord, but my personal Lord. Saying to Jesus, Jesus, I entrust myself to you and willing to listen to you as the Lord of my life. What relationship with sin will change? Seeing that sin is a detestable, hateable thing after seeing the holiness of Jesus. Grief for sinning, feeling sad for sinning. Not just for the punishment or consequence of sin, but But feel sad for the sin itself. Hate sin. Want to avoid sin. Determined to turn his back from sin. This is the change in relationship with sin. If your relationship with Jesus and relationship with sin have not changed, even you say you believe, are you really saved? That faith is not genuine faith. It is not saving faith. That's why last time we looked at the bottom two boxes, left and right. The bottom left one. We know that people, they might have, they think they have assurance of salvation. Doesn't necessarily mean saved. It can be a false assurance. For example, some people may think, I go to a church meeting on every Sunday, so I have assurance of salvation. This is a false assurance. But if you, after finding out your false assurance, and if you only have verbally and mentally acknowledge that you are a sinner, and verbally and mentally believe in gospel, but no change in relationship with Jesus and sin. If this is the case, if you don't feel sad for your sin, you still live your own life with Jesus irrelevant to you. Your life direction has not changed to Jesus. Hearing Jesus and following him. Then might be what you have is only dead faith, but not genuine faith. That faith can't save you. This is what James chapter 2 talks about. If so, I encourage you go home. When you go home, to find a quiet room. Only you and God are there. Repent from your sin and receive Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. And trust yourself to him and ask him to lead you to walk with him. Someone might say, I want to do that, but I haven't seen my own sinfulness. Or I'm not sure who Jesus is. Then you can ask Jesus to reveal to you who he is and your own sinfulness. Seek him and he will reveal to you. Jesus promised us in Matthew chapter 7, saying, in chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, 7 and 8, as we read, today we may read a few scriptures. I pray that as we read, we open our hearts and seek the Lord and ask the Lord to speak to us when we read the scripture today. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. So if you haven't if before you have a false assurance, today you can cry out to the Lord. Don't settle your heart until he answers your seeking. This is for your eternal salvation, and it's important matter on eternal death and life, hell and heaven. Now let us look at the bottom right box. This one. Some people may think that they are saved, or they believe in the Lord, but they haven't. Their relationship with Jesus hasn't changed. Their relationship with sin hasn't changed. And they're not sure whether they have assurance of eternal security. Or even some people, they haven't accepted the gospel at all. If you haven't believed in the gospel in the past, or if you only have verbally and mentally acknowledge that you are sin and verbally and mentally believe in gospel, but no change in relation with Jesus and sin. Also, I encourage you, go back home and believe in Jesus. Repent. And receive Jesus. Believe in Him as a personal Savior. And Lord. So this is what we shared last time. Before I go on, I'm going to stop for a while in case you have some questions or comments.
Yeah, I have a question. Is it possible for some people to be saved and not to have that attitude towards Jesus, attitude towards sin, like they don't feel like it's changed, and maybe they are saved, but they just not listen to the Holy Spirit, and so they're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit? Is that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so because they have kept saying no, so they no longer feel anything about sin.
This is a very horrible situation. I'm not sure. Some people they are saved, but they gone after they are saved, they come to a situation, they harden their heart, they sin against God, ignore the Holy Spirit, and have no feeling on sin. And no heart for Jesus anymore. In that case, I don't know. But God knows. Because if a person is saved, maybe in the beginning he hasn't got saved. He thought he got saved. And actually, he hasn't. That's why he is in this situation. Or maybe he, in the beginning, he's really saved. But he's hardened his heart. But the Lord will discipline him. But he still belongs to the Lord.
So if it's the second one that he is saved and he's just hardened his heart, how would you advise them to respond if someone thinks that they're in that situation?
Yeah, very good question. I would like to spend some time on this later. But this is an important question. But the thing is, if you think that you are saved, in the past, but today, you are in a situation in sin, keep on sinning, then you do need to ask a very important question for your life today, and also for your life in the future, eternity. Are you really saved? If you are in this kind of situation, you need to go back to the Lord immediately and repent. Because 1 John told us that someone keep on sinning, he is what? Of the devil. It's not of God. So if you are in a situation, keep on sinning, you do need to ask the question, are you of God? You do need to ask. So, anyone, if you keep on sinning, you are in a very severe, terrible, dangerous situation. Who knows? Whilst you are keep on sinning, next week, or tonight, or afternoon, you have an accident and pass away, you have no chance. So you need to be very careful if you are in a situation of keep on sinning now. Thank you for the question. But I'm not sure whether is there any other comments. Let me do something. Let me try this one first. I'm not good at mobile. It won't black out anymore, I hope. So, yes, Rachel.
If we are saved, if we are one should be saved, and then later we walk astray, and keep on sinning, I'm just wondering, if there's always grace and grace, if God is always forgiving us and being merciful with us,
thanks for your question. If someone is really saved, but later on, he keep on sinning. Yes, he does need to ask the question whether he's really saved or not. Because the First John said, keep on sinning is of the devil. But there are some people, they do keep on sinning after really saved. Later, if we have opportunity, I hope that we can share on this as well. Once a person, he belongs to the Lord, he's really saved, he's born again, he's always a child of God. So even they can, he or she can be very weak or gone astray, the Lord will continue to do work and discipline and call them back. Yeah. And also, once a person is really saved, in eternity, he is the child of God. But there may be discipline. And also, because he's a child of God, God has a keeping power to keep and train and discipline so that he will back to God. This is the assurance we can have. This is from the Bible, but we don't have time to look at that. Like in John chapter 10, Jesus said, these are my sheep. Father, give the sheep to Jesus. And these sheep belong to Jesus. And they listen to him. And they follow him. And no one can snatch or take them from the hand of Jesus. And also, no one can take them away from the Father's hand. So they are secure. I'm not sure whether I respond to your question. Okay. Yeah, we will try to. Yeah. For example, this one. Some people, they believe in Jesus, but they're not sure whether they have eternal security. They worry that, oh, today I believe in the Lord, I saved. How about tomorrow, if I sin, will I lose my salvation? These people, they're not sure. But actually, they are saved. And once they're saved, they are eternally secure. But today we don't have time to look at that. We look at this first. Are there any question or comments? Okay. How about we move on? Yeah, if today what you hear, you have some more question, just try to talk to more people. And okay, try to pray first, ask the Lord. And also, by the meantime, talk to people. They are more they're more mature in the Lord. Because it's more a personal thing, an important issue. Okay, now we are going to look at another important question. What actually happened to me when I repent of my sin and trust Jesus as my personal Savior and Lord? What actually happened to me? Or another approach to ask the same question. What actually happens to me when I am saved by faith? What actually happened in reality? Whether I can feel it or not, but something happened in reality. There is a miraculous work of God done to me when I am saved by faith. So a person is saved, it's not by your own decision. Your decision to believe in the Lord, accept the Lord. This acceptance, this belief, because of this belief, God does a miraculous work on you. Firstly, I receive revelation from God that Jesus is Savior and Lord, and I am a sinner. This revelation is from the Holy Spirit to our inner eyes, not a teaching of man to our mind only. It's a revelation. Awesome. And the eternal life is given to me when I believe and are saved. What happens? The eternal life is given to me. This life is not a physical life, but a spiritual life. A new life given to me. As John chapter 3, verse 16. Very clearly said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For a person believe in Jesus, what happens to him? An eternal life, the eternal life given to him. Here, clearly saying that having eternal life as your new life is the same should not perish. Saved. Being saved from sin and hell. This birth is a miraculous work of God. The eternal life is not come from our human effort of transforming our old self into a better self. Not at all. This is a totally another life. Other life from God. The life of God. It is a gracious miracle of God on us. Not done by us. So this is grace. Just like what we have sung the song this morning, Amazing Grace. Believers have the privilege to be a child of God through being born of God. In John chapter 1, verse 9 to 30, it said, the true light, this is referred to Jesus Christ, the true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. And he said, in verse 4, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Become children of God means being born of God. So this is a miraculous new birth happened to this person. Not from man, but from God. This is what John chapter 3, we have read it before. I remember we have shared about how Jesus talked to Nicodemus. By Uncle Ichiu, in the past. In John chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 7, to verse 7, it said, how about we read it together?
Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again.
Let us notice that the spiritual birth is born of water and spirit. What is meant by born of water and spirit? In the Old Testament, in Ezekiel, through the prophet Ezekiel, God, the Lord, speak to Israelites, God's people. In Ezekiel chapter 36, actually it's from 25, verse 25 to 31, but it's too long, so I miss out some part. But we can look at that. What does it mean by born of water and spirit? In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25, it said, the Lord said, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. And then verse 29. And I will deliver you from all your uncleannesses. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. And you will loathe yourselves for your iniquities and your abominations. Being born of water and spirit means being cleansed by God and also being born of God. People being cleansed by God from uncleannesses will hate sin. The miraculous work of God is to cleanse a person who believes in the Lord Jesus. And this miraculous work of God caused this person hate sin because of cleansing of the uncleannesses. That is a change in attitude towards sin. People born of the Spirit having a new spirit, a new heart. This is the new life. Eternal life received from God. This new life will cause the person to walk with Jesus, to follow him and his words. It's not our old self have the desire to follow the Lord. We have no power to follow the Lord. But the new life received from the Lord, the new spirit, using the Old Testament words, causes to obey him, have a desire to listen to him. All this happening to those people who believe in the Lord is a person. He said, and these people, if we use our table, the boxes are these. The top one. They believe in the Lord. They have the miraculous work of God in their life. They're saved. They have eternal life. And they are secure. Eternity. Although some people, they may not know that. They worry about, how about I sin later, I will lose my salvation. We don't have time to look at the scripture about this today, but we will look at it later. But the most important thing, whether you have that or not, the more important thing is you are saved or not. The crucial thing for us is to be here. Not here. People, they can be very religious. They can go to Sunday meeting all the time. Like Neil last time talked to us. They do apparently the same thing as Christian. But if they're not born again, they're here. It is a severe thing. So if you are not sure, you need to seek the Lord, to ask the Lord, so that you know you are not here. You are here. Because only here, in God's eyes, you are saved. And you really saved. In here, you have the revelation from the Lord. Jesus is my Savior and Lord, and I'm a sinner. I'm born again. I have received eternal life. I'm saved. My relationship with Jesus and sin have changed. Having new life, which causes me to follow Jesus and hate sin. I remember, I remember an old schoolmate. I'm not sure whether I've shared this with you. Once a person said, naturally, somehow, the Holy Spirit, the new life in him, caused him to follow the Lord. I remember I have an old schoolmate when I was in Hong Kong in high school. At that time, it's about HSC time. In high school, we have a group of Christians. We organize Christian fellowship meeting, and we invite some non-Christian friends and schoolmates, classmates to the meeting, on the after school hours. Right? That's the time I remember. We have a gospel meeting. So we invite some classmates, they are non-believer, to a classroom. At that time, we have a gospel meeting. At the end, the preacher, because the preacher is preaching the gospel, at the end, one of my schoolmates, the same year with me, but she's doing arts subjects, I'm doing science subjects, and he believed in the Lord. When the preacher says, who is willing to believe in the Lord, should believe in the Lord. And afterwards, after the meeting, we try to care for him and care for her. And then and she says, I have a question. And then we asked, what is the question? She said, I'm now believing in the Lord, I'm a Christian. I know, then I should go to church on Sunday. And then, that's good, you go to church, good, I don't know how he got this idea. You know, he hasn't, I don't know how she got this idea. I don't believe she read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. You can't stop meeting with Christian. But somehow she knows she needs to go to church meeting on Sunday. But she has a struggle. Because at that time, we are all sitting for like an HSC equivalent exam. This year is very intense, very competitive. You know, in Hong Kong, it's very different from in Australia. The Hong Kong, old days Hong Kong. Imagine if you have 100 year 7 students. If you want to go to the University of Hong Kong, only one person can go in. You can see how competitive it is. So she has a struggle. I'm a Christian now. I know I should go to church on Sunday. But she's saying, if I go there, 7 days, I lost 1 day. And all my classmates, they have 7 days to study. So I will lose out. Yeah, this is what she shared. She's genuine. And then she prayed. She asked the Lord to help her on the 6 days, even no matter at school, at her own study time, she can do it efficiently, effectively, attentively, focused, diligently. And she's there 1 day to go to church meeting on Sunday. She did that. A change. You can see? A change in attitude of life goal. Although it's important in Hong Kong at that time, if you can go to University of Hong Kong or Uni, your career will be very bright. You know, very secure. But she knows she wants to please the Lord. I'm not saying that, but this shows her heart. I remember this is someone showed that no one teach her. But once he received a new life, the Holy Spirit teach her. I remember when I was before that, a few years before that time, I believe in the Lord. And I find that my attitude towards sin changed. In the past, I sin, or I think I'm a good person, good student. I remember there's a time the Lord convicted me, caused me to think about when I was 4 or 5 or 6 at home, convicted me of a sin. I remember at that time, my father have a friend come to our place, leaving a few coins on the bed. And then somehow, I don't know, at that night, I saw no one's there. I just struggled, what's the few coins? The few coins to me is big at that time. He said, it belongs to no one, okay? And then I just take it. Just take it. And afterwards, my father's friend, uncle, need to leave our place. And then he tried to find something. Actually, he tried to find these coins. He couldn't find it. I was so scared. I was very afraid of my father. My father is a very serious, severe. But then later, I hesitate to tell the truth. As I had to hesitate, I wait for longer, the less courage I tell the truth. Because I think, if I tell the truth, my father will say, Why don't you tell earlier? I'm so scared. Okay. So I lie. I can't remember how I lie. I lie in without telling or whatever, or I can't remember. And then later on, I was actually I can't remember what, but I don't even remember this incident. But this is a time when I believe in the Lord, the Holy Spirit convicted me of that sin I committed many years ago. The sin. I feel sorry about this sin. And the Holy Spirit convicted me. I'm proud of jealousy, hatred. But the more I see my sin, the more I'm amazed how great the love of God is. He even forgave me and died for me on the cross. I'm not sure how much you know your sin. If you know your sin, your sinfulness, if you see your sinfulness more and you see the forgiveness of God, your love to God will be more. Because your debt has been paid more. If you only feel that you owe a little bit, you think this grace is good, but a little bit grace. But you see your sinfulness greatly, you treasure the forgiveness and love much more. Just like the sinful woman, he loved the Lord much, much more than the host, Simon. Recorded in the Bible. The miraculous work of God on a person changed the attitude of sin. Okay, I need to be faster. If we are here, then we should trust what God's word has said. We are saved, and we can enjoy our salvation and our identity being a precious child of God. Because this is a miraculous work of God on us, not our own work. It's word of God. What we should do, and naturally, we give thanks and praise to God. We can trust and count on God's own words in the Bible, which is the foundation of our salvation. Jesus Christ, the foundation of our salvation, but not our own feeling. Sometimes you may feel very weak, but our foundation is not our performance and our work. It's the Lord Jesus and his words. Not only this. We can enjoy this miraculous work of God, gracious work of God. We can enjoy the forgiveness of sin, justification of sin. We can enjoy the full acceptance of God by Jesus' blood. We can enjoy the good news that no more hell, no more condemnation, no need to fear hell, no need, we can live freely and happily, no hell for us. We can enjoy this. When I say I'm scared of my father's punishment, I'm scared. How much we need to scare about the hell, but because we have been saved. No more fear. No more fear of death. How good it is. And also enjoying your identity as a child of God. Being loved and treasured by God. Always knowing that you are in good hands. Other things, including earthly laws, become small matters. Whether you can go to university, small matter. You know, the friend, the schoolmates I just talked about, Going to church meeting on Sunday is not a simple thing only for the time issue. Because she came from an idol worship family. Her family has an altar to worship their ancestor. She is the eldest daughter. Her mom forbid her to go to church. You know why? Because the mom worried that if the eldest daughter go to church, become a Christian, the younger son, the second son, will go as well. Then no one to be responsible or to do the duty of idol worshipping. The mother is very serious about this. So the mother forbid her to go to church. But to my schoolmates, this sister, that Sunday, he went to church. But the mother said, if you go, if you leave our home, don't come back. But in his heart, he has an urge to follow the Lord. He went in tears, okay? And then after going to church meeting, he come back home. Tried to go in. The mom didn't let her go. Let her go in. Press the bell. She just stand there. Stand until night. And then her mom opened the door. To her. Her relationship with Jesus changed. He wanted to follow the Lord. And then after some time, her mom told, okay, you can go to church. But never go to baptism. Never baptize. After some time, he feel the urge to be baptized. He talked to the mother. The mother say no. But she asked her mother. Eventually she got baptized. After baptized, her mom said, okay, you got baptized. But don't take your brother to church. After some time, quite a few years sometimes, her brother go to church. Baptized. Eventually, after many years, her mom witnessed them. All these children, the best is this daughter. She bear a very good testimony. Because she got an, it's not she's good, but the new life in her is good, it's real. So we do. If you're saved, you have new life in you. So we should follow our new heart, new spirit, new life desire to follow Jesus. And to turn back, turn my back, turn your back from the sin of the old self-centered self. Trusting the Lord. So you will grow and enjoy His grace more and more, more and more. We don't have time to look at that, the eternal security today. But if the Lord's willing, you will look at that next time. Is there any question or comments? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your wonderful salvation and wonderful grace. Those people, they enjoy the salvation and enjoy you as their personal Savior and Lord. The enjoyment can be there. The enjoyment can be possible because you have sacrificed your own life. on the cross. We thank you for your wonderful grace and love. May the scripture we read today warm our hearts, open our hearts, so that we see how great your love is, how great the salvation is, how great the new life we receive, how treasured it is, so that we can live a life worthy of your glory. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.